core values. This year, we're going to be going through our core values with a series of sermons on each core value. So we're going to have a series. We have got five core values here. And so we're going to have a series on each of those core values through this year. And the goal of that is to really dig deep into these core values. As a church, these core values, they should shape our personal lives, our personal walk with Jesus, our personal relationship with God. And that's important to us as a church, because as we grow and we develop as individuals, then we're going to be growing and developing together as a church. And that's the only way we're going to be able to move forward. Thank you so very much, Ryan. I'm hoping that, yeah, that's, it's messy, but it'll work. There we go. I got my lightning sign on my battery, so thank you so very much. So the idea of this is to be able to inspire us, to remind us of what's important here at Miami Town as a church, to see a shift, a step up, a step forward. We can all do that, right? Anybody that's been involved in anything, if it's athletics, if it's your work environment, if it's your home environment, you want to be a better parent, you want to be a better husband, you want to be a better wife, you want to be better at your job, you want to be better at school, we should want to be better as a church. And so there are going to be some shifts, some changes to step up, that our attitude towards a worship service would lean less towards what I enjoy and more towards what can I bring? What can my soul bring as a praise offering to God? When we experience God's teaching from God's word, wherever and whoever, even if we have a guest speaker and they're not great. I mean, none of our people here are, we got, you know, but sometimes, you know. Or if you're somewhere else, because we're a body, we're Miami Town Church of Christ, wherever you are. Anytime God's word is opened, we should be going and listening to that, not as, well, I hope they can move me. I hope they're funny enough. I hope they're interesting enough. If we have the boringest speaker up here, or maybe I'm just on a bad day. But if God's word is being opened, then every one of us should enter into that moment thinking, here's another tool I want to add to my toolbox, and I want to listen intently to get that tool. Here's another piece that I can grow in my faith. Here's something else that I can be, that we come to the messages, that we come to our Sunday school lessons, expecting to be equipped, expecting to leave with something more than what we had. And we listen constantly on how can I apply what's being shared from God's word into my life. That our relationships would gain more depth. More than just enjoying each other's fellowship, because we do a great job with that. But that we would more and more challenge and encourage each other in our personal growth in the kingdom and our personal involvement in the kingdom. That there'd be an accountability level there. That we would invest with action and involvement. That we would be involved personally in sharing Jesus with those around us. That we would view our neighborhood not just as the zip code that the church building sits in, but the zip codes that our church is in. Because the church isn't cinder block and mortar. The church is us. And wherever we are, Miami Town, that's our neighborhood. That's our community. So all of the communities we live in, all of the people that we rub shoulders with, our community is not the zip code of Miami Town. The community is everybody that we are in contact with. That's the definition of the neighborhood. And that's where the shift moves. That we would have an unyielding devotion to God, because we both fear and love Him. And we seek to obey Him, and we are available whenever and wherever with the kind of faith people in Hebrews 11 displayed. And so for 3 weeks, we're going to be focusing on the first core value. really kind of unpacking that. The first core value, God is first. Let's read that together. God is first in all things. Following him is the priority. God is first. Let's write this down. Be slow to know. Be slow to know. Repeat that after me. Be slow to know. Be slow to know. Turn to your neighbor and say, be slow to know. That sounds counterintuitive. No, when we think of slow, we think of the opposite of knowing. In the midst of Jesus' travels, a woman named Martha opened her home up to him. And Jesus and his crew, all of his disciples, they went to her house. And Martha was doing all that she could to be a good host, to be the best host she could be, just busting her tail to make sure that everything was just perfect for her guests, to make sure that everything was being taken care of. Meanwhile, Mary, her sister, was doing nothing to help. She was sitting at Jesus' feet. And yes, listening. Listening to what Jesus was saying. What Martha was doing wasn't bad. It was a good thing. But we're told that Mary chose better. Mary exemplified what we read in Psalm 46:10, where the psalmist says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. I didn't have my notes to preach about that, but he doesn't say if you acknowledge my existence, if you bow, if you worship me, if I'm important enough to be first. No, I will be. It's not dependent on us. That's not a dependent clause. It's who God is. It's what he is. He's going to be first no matter what. So let's write that down. Just straight quote from the Bible. Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we need to just slow down. We need to just stop everything and sit at Jesus' feet. To be still and know that he is God. Be slow to know. Slow down. Be still. Be slow to know. Be still and know that God is God. God is first. But oftentimes we get so busy. So many things going on. So many plates we spin. And we get so distracted and so worried over all the things that are going on in our life. And it's so very easy to put God on the back burner, to move him out of first place. And sometimes we think, well, this is just temporary. I just need to take care of these things. But God has been very clear in his word and in his relationship with us that he is never to be moved from first place. That is the place he occupies always. And that's our relationship with God. He's never to be on the back burner. God is second to nothing. And that's how he established his relationship with us. He is first. Mary chose better than Martha. How much better would life be if we could be more like Mary? I just gave some of you just little mini heart attacks just then. Some of the go-getters, the busybodies, the people, and you think, I can't sit down. I can't pause. You don't understand my life. You don't know what's going on. Just the thought of hitting the pause button gives you a panic attack. And that should be a sign that we're out of balance. Let me just read the story that I just shared with you about. It's in Luke chapter 10. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, why don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Maybe she'll listen to you." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Let's write this down. Busy distractions happen without effort. Slowing to a sit still and listening takes effort. You know, something I've learned through experience and the observation, through observation is that God will never, he will never be first in your life if you allow life to dictate what's most important to you. It's an effort to slow to a sit down, to slow and listen, to be slow to know. That takes effort. Church, let me exhort you today. Make the effort. Make the effort. When we lose practice of taking time to be still and to know that God is God, then he quickly falls out of first place. It slips. Slowing down and sitting at his feet doesn't happen accidentally. You have to will it to happen. You have to make it happen. It has to be a conscious decision. God will never be first if you don't make a willful decision to choose him over all of the worries around us. Because he knows. We know. There's so many worries out there. There's so many distractions. So many things going on in our life. But God will never be first if we're distracted by all the busyness going on around us. And the distractions don't have to be bad things. I mean, I'm not talking about closing down the bars at, 3 a.m. or whatever time they close. I wouldn't know. I'm not talking about having a gambling habit so bad that you're in debt and you're having to figure out how to, you're just up and you're in trouble. I'm not talking about the bad things. I'm talking about good things that can be distractions. Just everyday life, just living. Things that are good, things that are healthy, things that are important, but none of which should be first. Let me assure you that the busy distractions will happen without effort. But to slow down, to slow down to a standstill, or in Mary's case, a sit still, that takes effort. And that involves priorities. That involves priorities. See, what's most important to you will reveal itself. And if God is first, then you will make time. You will make time to slow, to be slow to know. You will make time to sit and listen. You will make time to be still and know that he is God. If he is first, if he is most important, that will be something that you'll make time for. You will choose to be like Mary, sitting at his feet and listening to what he's saying. Jesus tells Martha that she's worried about so many things, but only one thing is needed. Only one thing is the most important thing. So what's most important to you? What's first? That's why this core value is so very potent. I love these core values. There was a lot of time and a lot of work put into them. And reading over them time and time again, now that they're set, they're good. They're really good. Bathed in scripture, bathed in prayer. And you'd think that knowing what we know of God, That we would never have to question this. That this would never be something that we would have to bring up, that we would have to reflect on. But we all know that that's not true. We all know it's so easy to get distracted. What we know about God, His amazing love, His awesome power, His all-sufficient grace, the gift of eternal life. I mean, it should be a no-brainer that He's first all of the time. But you and I know that we are more often like Martha and seldom like Mary. And that's the shift. That's the move. That's what we need to take an effort to change that, to slow down and to know, to be still and know that He is God. In John chapter 10, Jesus says, "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice." The sheep do what? Listen to his voice. "He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep do what? Follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus said the sheep will recognize his voice. How are we to recognize his voice if we aren't habitually taking time to listen to his voice? He said that his sheep recognize his voice. Why? Because it's a familiar voice to them. Church, that just preaches right off the pages of John's gospel. Sheep don't recognize the stranger's voice. How often do we give our time and attention to all of those other voices in our life, all of those things that are worries or distractions? All those distractions that Martha was caught up in. If God is first, then that means that his voice is first. His voice has the highest impact on us. That his voice is the voice that has the most potent influence. That his voice is the voice that has the most important input into our lives. That his voice is the voice that offers the most peace and brings order to our chaos. His voice should be such that we pause. That we are slow to know. That we make it a priority to sit and to listen to him. To pause. To be still and know that he is God. To make the effort to slow down. To slow down and read his word. To slow down and pray and listen. I think sometimes even our prayer life is such that it's just all one way. We need to spend as much time in prayer listening as we do talking. To meditate on his word. To slow down and thank him. To see the things that we should be grateful for on a regular basis. You won't see those if you're moving so fast. To slow down and praise him. What voices are most familiar? What voices are most familiar? To me? To you? It's the voices that we listen to the most. Those are the ones that are most familiar. Those are the voices that we have given the most merit in our lives. Those are the voices that we've given the most authority to, the most allegiance to. So which is it? The many distracting voices all around us? Or the voice of the Good Shepherd? Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." I love that. Write this down. Listening means we will be better attuned to Jesus' voice. We will hear his voice. We will pay more attention to his voice. We will follow him, and we won't follow the other voices if his voice is the most important voice in our life. We won't follow the other voices because the other voices will be the voices of strangers, not the voices of friends, not the voices of familiar voices, not all of those distractions. We'll have one voice, and man, doesn't that sound great to simplify down to one? It's what God wants. It's the healthy thing. It's the right thing. It's the holy thing. It's what God's children should do. And when you hear it, you think, oh, that just sounds great. It's just an effort away. You have the power of the Holy Spirit living inside you that wants that. How amazing is it that we can fight him so that we chase all of the things that we want that aren't good for us? Even the good things, if they're a distraction from first place, they're not good. When if we just surrender and let go, then it's just like that tension will draw us into the place where we need to be. And that one thing is the one thing that is most needed. One of our problems that we have in our lives is that we allow the voices that should be strangers to become familiar voices to us. And the voice that should be most familiar, we are estranged from. That cannot be. It takes a conscious decision. Be slow to know. Put God first. This also takes faith to do. It takes faith. It takes faith to seek him first. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking about some of the worries that we have in life. What we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, what we're going to drink. Jesus says, you don't need to worry about all these things. He says, look at the birds. They don't worry about what they're going to eat or drink. Doesn't God take care of them? They don't go hungry. Aren't we more important than the birds and the trees? Look at the flowers of the field. They don't worry about clothes. Yet look how beautifully God clothes them. And if God clothes the grass in the fields that is here today and gone tomorrow, how much more will he provide for us, his children? Jesus says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek what? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Choosing better means seeking his kingdom first. It means seeking his righteousness first. And that takes faith to do. That takes faith to trust him that he's going to take care of everything. It takes faith to put him first. We won't slow down if we're so connected to the worries of life. It takes faith to let that go. It takes faith to say, it's okay. I don't need to worry about that. I'm going to put first things first. That takes faith. It's simple, but it's not easy to seek him first. God is first. Everything else is second. Not even a close second. So what are some ways we can do this? What are some ways that we can be slow to know? What are some ways that we can be still and know that he is God? What are some ways that we can seek first his righteousness and his kingdom? Well, very, very, very practical, simple things here. We can seek him first at the beginning of every day. Let's go and write that down. We can seek him first at the beginning of every day. Start your day. Your first words. Make this a practice. See what happens to your life. Make your first words every day words to him. Start your day with prayer. Start your day with praise. Start your day singing to him. Your first thoughts. Maybe you just lie there in your bed quiet in between the snoozes. And oftentimes the thoughts are, what do I need to do today? What's happening today? What deadlines do I have today? Oh no, I've got to meet with such and such, or this is happening, or you got something that you're looking forward to, or you got something that you're dreading. Surrender your first thoughts and just give them to Him. Don't think about those things yet. Surrender to Him and let Him be your first thought when you wake up in the morning. Think about how awesome He is. Think about how grateful you are for all that He's done for you. Surrender your day before you even think about your day to Him and to His will. Spend time with Him first. Spend time in His Word. Maybe you're a morning devotion person. Move that. Maybe it's during coffee or during breakfast or whatever. And maybe that's the deep part, but move a piece of that to right here. Maybe you're an evening or afternoon, or you do it during lunch, or whenever you have your time with God, your devotion time, pull a scripture from that, just one scripture. Have it the night before you go to bed, have it set up on your phone, on your YouVersion app, or whatever Bible app you use, or have your old-fashioned paper Bible open to that scripture, or even write it down. Keep a notebook by your bed. And write it down. It's healthy to write scriptures because it helps to enforce the memory and the connection. You're adding more into it. So maybe have a scripture notebook that sits by your bed and write down one scripture that night. And when you wake up in the morning, as soon as you get your eyes cleared, you pull that scripture up and that's the first thing you read. That's the first thing your eyes look at in the morning. Seek His advice and wisdom first. Oftentimes we look to so many sources before we turn to God. That's not the behavior of someone who's seeking Him first. That's the behavior of someone who is seeking Him second, third, fourth, or somewhere down the line. When you have a decision that you're facing, take it to Him first. Seek His advice, seek His wisdom, pray about it, go to His Word, see if His Word has something to say that's going to help guide you. Lean on His Holy Spirit and ask His Holy Spirit to reveal to you advice and wisdom. Give to Him first in everything. Chris mentioned that our giving financially is a giving out of our first fruits, that we give off the top, we give from the beginning. That shouldn't just be limited to our finances. Everything should be first fruits. The best of your talent, the best of your gifts, the best of your time, the best of your efforts. The first. In 1 Samuel, we read about Hannah, Samuel's mother. And she was barren. And some of you have been down that road. Some of you know people who have been down that road, and it's a horrible feeling for a woman. I'm not a woman, so I can't go all the way there, but I've seen it enough to know. And she's begging and she's pleading. She seeks God first in this matter. And she's praying so much and weeping and pleading so much that the priest on duty thinks that she's drunk. That's how crazy this is. How emotional. She was praying silently, but her lips were moving, and he's like, something's not right with this woman. So he rebukes her, says, you need to get off the bottle. You've had too much wine. And she said, no, I'm just begging and pleading, God. I want a child so bad. And she told God in that prayer, she said, if you will do this for me, I will give him to you. I will give him to your service for all of his life. So she's pleading and she's wanting this thing. And it's if you can think of all the things that you could want to be able to give life, that's an amazing thing. And the one thing she wants the most is this child. And she's so willing to put God first, that she says, if you give this to me, if you hear me, I will give that which matters most to me, and I'll give him back to you. How amazing is that? First, how many things do we have that we hold tight, close to the chest? No one's going to get this. I'm going to see guys on the concrete basketball court, you know? How often do we do that with the things? Things that are most important to us. If God is first, that's what we do. We give it to him. Our first fruits of everything. Let's write this down. Seek him first in your various areas of life. Seek him first at work. Whatever your job is, whatever your occupation is, seek him first in your work. Seek him first in the things that you do. Seek to glorify him and bring honor to his name with the integrity you work with the honesty, with the way that you treat the people that you come into contact with. Seek him first in his righteousness in your workplace. Seek him first in your home. We have some students here. So in the work environment, that all translates over to the school environment. Seek him first at school. Seek him first in the way that you interact with the other kids around you. Seek him first in the way that you act towards your teachers. Towards the way you approach your homework. It's the same thing as what adults are in work. You're practicing to be an adult. You're learning habits of how you're going to act here. And if you seek God first in your school habits, then it's going to be much easier to translate seeking him first in your work habits. Seek him first at home. In the way that you parent, in the way that you are a child, in the way that you treat your spouse, seek him first in all of those relationships. And watch how that changes things. Seek him first in all of the areas in your life. Seek him first with yourself. All those inner parts. All those desires, all those hopes. Seek him first in those. He'll make your paths straight. A.W. Tozer, the author of The Pursuit of God, this is a quote from him, a great quote. He says, let the seeking man reach a place where life and lips join to say continually, be thou exalted. And 1,000 minor problems will be solved at once. His Christian life ceases to be the complicated thing it had been before, and becomes the very essence of simplicity. Great quote. Another person in Scripture that that gives us a great example of putting God first is John the Baptist. And John the Baptist said this quote that we're going to be writing in our bulletins. Let's go and write that down. He must become greater. I must become less. Let me read this passage to you that comes after this. He says, he must become greater, I must become less. The one who comes from above is above all, and the one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. Whoever has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives a spirit without limits. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. Let's take some boom, boom, boom quick notes on this. This will be open book, so if you miss the notes, if they're up on the screen not long enough to write it down, you can go right back to that very passage I just read. All of these things are just straight out of that. I just wanted us to be able to reflect on all of these things that John brings up. Why God is first, why he must become greater and we must become less, why he must increase and we must decrease. The first part of that is God is above all. God came from heaven to earth as Jesus, and he came above us. Even when he stood on level ground with another human being, he was still above all. He was still above all, above any of us. His authority, his majesty, his supremacy, his reign. Jesus came as the Word of God. That's powerful. The Word made flesh. Jesus came speaking the very words of God in his teachings. He was sent from God as God's very own Word to us. And he made his dwelling among us. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. God gives his Spirit without limits is another thing that John said in that passage. Such a magnificent truth. To expose that God places his Holy Spirit in each of us when we become children, and it's without limits. It's not a portion. It's not, well, you can only handle 10% of me, so here's 10%. Listen, it is God living in us. That's amazing. And John testifies that he gives his Spirit without limits. It's all of him living inside of us as his children. That's crazy, crazy awesome. And the final thing that John mentions is that God gives eternal life. This is God's gift to anyone who would receive it. Not earned, not given, a gift. God gives eternal life. When you just quickly look at that list that John fires off, if you look in your bulletin, if you had a chance to write all those down real quick. God is above all. Jesus came as the Word of God. God gives a Spirit without limit. He gives eternal life. God is first because everything else is second. Then how do we ever think that we must increase and he must decrease? How can we think that when we know these things about God? We should be slow to know, to be still and know that he is God, that we should make the effort to slow down and listen to him. And by listening to his voice, we would be more attuned to his voice. Now, mind you, that's not easy. That doesn't happen easily. It takes effort and it takes faith. To seek him first. It takes faith to let go of all the things that drag us down. It takes faith to let go of all the things that we worry over. It takes faith to seek him first. To seek him at the beginning of every day. To seek his advice and his wisdom first. To give to him the first of everything. To seek him first in the various areas of your life. That takes faith. Let me assure you, church, it's worth the effort. It's worth the effort. He must become greater, so I must become less. God is above all. Jesus is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit lives in us without limit. And we have the hope. We have the hope of eternal life. God is first because everything else is second. Pray with me. Father, thank you so very much for loving us the way that you do, for revealing yourself to us through your Son, through giving your Holy Spirit to us. Father, help us as a church of individual followers of you. Help us to put you first and to really understand what that means. Increase our faith. Decrease our pride. Help us to let go of the things that battle for first place in our life. Help us to let go of the distractions. Help us to let go of the worry. Give us the strength to put you first with such such fervor that even the most important things, the things that we hold most dear to us, that we're willing to give those to you because you're worth everything. Thank you so very much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In order to get this message here, I had to sort out all three. So this is, church, we've got a really cool focus of Scripture and things happening in the next few weeks here. You don't want to miss a Sunday. God is first. That core value is awesome. It is the first commandment of God. It is the first thing that Jesus brings up when he's asked what's most important. It's put God first. In fact, it's the first four commandments. It's all about God is first. It's so very important for us. And as we break this down and detail it out, I think it's going to make some big, big impact on each of our lives. And as it makes an impact on our lives, it's going to make an impact on our church. So during this next song, I fully encourage you to let God engage you, to listen to him, to let him tell you what it is that's distracting. You probably don't need, this normally doesn't take the Holy Spirit speaking, does. It's going to take his strength to help us to see. But I think even without God revealing it to us, everyone here, we know what stands in his way. We know what distracts us. We know what takes first place most often. During this next song, This isn't a wait till you go home. This isn't a study it or pray about it more. This isn't, church, this is just a right now, give it to him. Right now, just lay it down and say, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not going to be distracted with this anymore. Whatever it is, it might be something small. It might be something that's good and healthy, important. It might be something that is very unhealthy, very bad. And whatever it is, you know what it is in your life. And just take it and lay it. And say, God, I'm done. Right now, I'm done. Immediately. Done. And watch as he comforts. Watch as he gives you strength. And make that an effort. It's not going to happen easily. It's not going to happen without faith. Lay it and move forward and be better tomorrow because of it. This morning, if you're here and you've never laid your life down to begin with, you've never given your life to Christ, during this next song, we offer a time that you can come forward and you can accept Jesus' invitation into his family, to confess that you believe that he is God's son, to be baptized into him, to die to your old self and to raise new, to have the guarantee that your faith, you know, when Jesus says, my sheep, no one will snatch them from my hand. That's powerful. That's so powerful. I did a memorial service in this building yesterday for Autumn Frost. Last April, many of you witnessed as she was baptized into Christ. And that was real. She had struggles. She had things that she brought to the cross, just like any of us do. Let me encourage you. If you're thinking, I'm going to get cleaned up, I'm going to get things right, I'm going to get things straight, don't. Just come and give it to him. She still had some struggles that she was dealing with, and she died of a drug overdose. She had a bad mix. It was laced with fentanyl and heroin and crack. It was so quick. The needle was still in her arm. She died that fast. It was so nice for me to be able to tell the family. Yes, she had struggles, but her faith in God was real. And I have no doubt that when she was born again into Christ, that she was part of the family. And that Jesus said, you're not going to snatch the sheep. Do you have that hope? And if not, why wait? Why put it off? Today's a boom, boom day. Both for Christians and for those who haven't yet made that decision. Don't wait. That was April. This is January. It was less than a year later. You don't know what tomorrow holds. Our life is a mist. We're a vapor. And I don't know who I'm pleading to right now, because I know a lot of you are Christians. But if there's one here that's on the fence, that's been thinking about it, then come forward. Be baptized into Christ this morning.